cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, everybody, for joining tonight. We are God. He has a special word for you and me tonight. God has a special word for you and me tonight. Who is ready for God's word? Yes, let's jump right into it. For a few months ago, Pastor started to teach us on the subject of righteousness. And he took a break from that for a while, and he started to teach us on, you know, the five loaves and the two fishes. So, you know, we're going to take it a little further tonight. We're going to go back to that subject. We're going to trust God. Trust God as we receive of Him tonight. We're going to just trust God as we receive of Him tonight. Let's just pray and let's just take a word of prayer together. Lord, we open our hearts to receive Your word. Lord, we ask that Your word comes alive, Your word comes afresh. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we ask that Your word comes afresh. Lord, we ask that Your word is released and revealed to each and every one of us. We ask that life is impacted. We ask that You stir us up, You release us, You impact us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' glorious name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, let's jump right into it tonight. We're going to open our Bibles. We're going to do a long Bible read. We're going to open our Bibles tonight to Hebrews 8. And we'll be blessed by the ministry of God's word. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Okay, let's start. We're going to start. It's going to be a long read. I'm just giving us a little more minutes to just connect and open our scriptures. For some of us joining on Zoom, we have it, and Facebook, we have it on the screens already. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. We're going to read all the way, God helping us, to chapter 10. God helping us. Wherever we stop, we stop. But we're just going to keep reading and reading and reading and getting blessed by God's word. Now let's start from the beginning. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. So the Apostle Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, wherever you believe it is, he's trying to summarize the gospel. He's trying to summarize everything he believes he has written and bring it to a summation. And he starts by saying, guys, this is the summary of this gospel. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Hallelujah. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat to also to offer. So Christ needed to offer something as well, right? He needed to offer. Verse 4, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go. who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For seeth he that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mountain. Hallelujah. So Moses made everything according to the pattern that was showed him on the mountain. Just follow me. We'll just keep reading and getting blessed by God's word. At some point we'll explain and just look at those things. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is the mediator of a better covenant, hallelujah, which was established upon better promises. So everybody, let's just stop at this moment and just hear God's word. You see, the first thing to note is that the covenant that we have established in Christ is a better covenant. Hey, glory! I don't know if anybody has read from Genesis from Exodus all the way to Malachi and see all the great and wondrous things God did in those books. And you see the power of God in those books. The Bible tells us that firstly, what we have in Christ is a better covenant. What we have in Christ is a better covenant. Secondly, what we have in Christ is established upon better promises. Glory! Hey! I mean, we could just sit at this and just go on and on, on and on and on and on and on. But we're just going to go read God's word and just keep getting blessed. Verse 7, let me jump to verse 7. Verse 7 with me. Okay, let's go. For if that first covenant had been faultless, glory, if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Hey, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Ha! What's that new covenant? Verse 9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and regarded them not, saith the Lord. So what was the problem God had with the covenant that he made with the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt? The children of Israel were not able to continue in it. Hey! This tells you that the righteousness that comes by man is of no result. Glory, glory, glory. There is nothing in self-righteousness. There is nothing in going through the routines that you think would make you please God that will actually make you please God. So God said, based on that premise, I had worked with the children of Israel for this long. I'm taking away the old covenant to establish a new covenant. I don't know who is getting blessed already. I don't know who is getting blessed already by just reading the word of God and just following and just reading the word of God. Glory. So let's jump to verse 10. It says, For this is the covenant. Verse 10. We're reading verse 10. Let me just put it on the screen for those joining us on Zoom and Facebook. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. What is that covenant? After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind. Glory! God will put his laws into their mind. In the first covenant, he put the laws upon two tables of stone. And he read the laws to the people. And the people heard. And in fact, they ran away from the thunders and the storm on the mountains. But in this new covenant that we are part of, the Lord puts his laws into our hearts. Glory! Oh, you have the law and the righteousness of God in you. You have the laws of God in you. You know the way to go right on the inside of you. He puts it in
our minds. What is he saying about that new covenant again? And write them in their hearts. So the laws of God are in our mind and in our hearts. So every believer just lives from within out. Glory. Every believer is expected to live from within out. You know, in the old covenant, they were trying to live from without, trying to live from doing, trying to live from attaining. But in this new covenant, the laws of God are written in our minds and in our hearts, which means that we just live from within what God has impacted in us from without. So it is not you trying to, but it's you living out. It's not you trying to, but it's you living out. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if someone is getting blessed, if someone is getting blessed by this word already. Oh, so what? Let's go on. And I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God and they shall be to me a people. So in the new covenant, there is what is called a covenant that is broke, that can never be broken between man and God. There is this joint heritage that we have, this oneness that we have. You see, in the old covenant, I don't have time and I'm just trying to rush through. Let's just read some more of the scriptures. If you do go through the book of Genesis, when God was going to cut a covenant with Abraham in Genesis verse 17, the Bible says that a deep sleep came upon Abraham, and you know, the guy got into a trance and he saw that there were several animals that are cut into twine, which is a Jewish, you know, in the Jewish law, that's the covenant that they break by cutting the animals into two, and one part represents one of the parts of the person that is establishing the covenant, and the second for the other part of the person establishing the covenant. And part of what entails is that when you are done with that entire process, whatever is my battle is your battle. Hey! So God is saying in this new covenant, I will be their God and they shall be my people. It shall no longer be based on a tribe, based on ethnicity, based on location, based on bias or whatever it is, or orientation or where you're coming from. He's saying that I will be their God and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor. We're still going to look at this, so I'm just going to read through it, and you know, when we move forward, you see what this means. And every man is brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. So all of us in this new covenant have direct access to the Lord. All of us in this new covenant can come to know the Lord in a personal, intimate, one-on-one, person-to-person way that, you know, there's no need for a priest, there's no need for a prophet. In this new covenant, each and every one of us can come to that one intimate knowledge with the Lord, and you know, just have that great relationship with him, and just come to know him. This is what God has given to us. This is the gospel, that this is the light of the life of every one person listening to me that is born again. And if you're not born again, just listen to me and just look at what you have to stand to gain in Christ. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all. Come on, say all. Somebody type all wherever you're joining me from. All. He says, all of them shall know me. All of them shall know me. Whoever it is, whether it's a child that chooses to know Christ, whether it's an aged man that comes to know Christ in the 70s or 80s, whether it's somebody that is literate, stark illiterate, he says, all of them. It is not restricted to the priestly order. It's not restricted to the house of Judah. No, it's not restricted to any sect, any clan, any wherever you're coming from. All shall know me. All of them shall know me. That's what God's word says. All of them shall know me. That's what God's word says. I don't know if someone wants to just pray in the Holy Ghost and just give God praise wherever you're joining me. Glory, 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 glory. All of them shall know me. What else does it mean in the new covenant? For I, the Lord speaking, will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Hey! This is the new covenant. This is God. This is the covenant of righteousness. This is the gospel of righteousness. This is God's word to you and me and everyone connected right now. I will be merciful. Somebody say, I receive mercy. Hey! I receive mercy. You know, it's not something we are going to earn. It's not something we are going to have to work for. The Bible says God speaking to us, I will be merciful. I will be merciful. I will be merciful. I will be merciful. I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness. Unto their unrighteousness and their sins. Oh, glory, 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 glory. And their sins. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. This is God's verdict for you and me. It's our sins, our iniquities, those things that used to create a wedge between us and God. God is telling you right now, the new covenant of righteousness says, I, oh God, will remember them. You see, some of us think that, you know, God just hides them, and you know, sometimes he tries to remember them, or sometimes, you know, you don't know what you do, that God will just bring out that thing you did back in those years, and he just use it against you, and say, see, I've not failed, you see, or you know, he's saying, no, that moment, every moment, from the moment you give your life to Christ, your sins, look at it, it's in the plural, it speaks of the past, the present, the future, it speaks of your sins, all the sins and the iniquities that you might come into, I, oh God, would choose not to remember them. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. I don't know if somebody is getting happy, getting excited, jumping off your seat. I mean, I wish I was standing right here because I have the camera in front of me. I've got to sit down. But God speaks to you. God speaks to me. And he says that he's not going to ever remember your sins anymore. Let's read some more. Let's read some more. I don't know if somebody wants to hear some more of God's word. Somebody want to hear some more of God's word? Type yes wherever you are. Whether you're on Facebook, you're on Zoom, you're on Mixer, you still want to hear some more of God's word, just type yes. Just type yes. Just type yes. Let me know you're following me. Let me know you're following me. Just type yes wherever you are. You want to hear some more of God's word? Just type yes. You want to just hear back in what God's word has to offer. What the life of God has to offer you and me. Oh, glory. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I can see we have some people here that are following what we are saying. Okay, let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's read some more of God's word. Let's read some more of God's word. Okay, let's jump to the next verse. Verse 13. Hebrews 8 and verse 13. Let's read some more of God's word. Hebrews 8 and verse 13. In that is yet a new covenant he had made the first old. And he had made the first old. So you see, when he made a new covenant, what happened was invariably the first covenant, the one that was initially established, became old. Now that which was decayed and waxed old is ready to be vanished. Let's jump up to chapter 9, verse 1. Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. So there were some things in that old covenant that were divine. I mean, it's God that ordained it. But you see, the problem with that covenant wasn't God. The problem with that covenant was man. With that covenant, I said earlier, it was that man could not meet up to God's standard of righteousness. Whoa. So the man Jesus came. Oh, we're going to look at that. Let's look at that. Let's look at what the man Jesus came to do for you and me. For then was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlesticks and the table and the showbread, which was called the sanctuary. Verse chapter 9, verse 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which are the golden censer and the ark of the covenant of overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that bought it. Hey, and the table of the covenant. You see all the things that were just, you know, all those things that we speak about in the Old Testament. And over it was the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Oh, let's just move on. Let's leave that bit. Let's move on. Let's move on, people. Let's move on. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But in the second, when the high priest alone once enter every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Glory. So you see, not without blood. Somebody say, not without blood. You see, when it comes to the subject of our redemption, it could have never be obtained without blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So the question of our righteousness, the question of our redemption, the question of our rights in Christ, the question of all that Christ has obtained for us, could not have been obtained without the shedding of blood. Because you see, what we looked at in the Old Testament were shadows. The Bible calls them shadows. Shadows of things to come. Shadows of that which God had in mind that was going to be perfect. So let's read some more. Let's see what God's word has to say some more. Okay. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Hey! While at the first tabernacle was yet standing. Glory! Which was a figure of the time then present. Hey! Somebody say, the time then present. The time then present. The time then present. The time then present. That's what we are living in. The time then present. In which were offered both gifts and sacrifice that could not make him that did the sacrifice perfect as pertaining to the conscience. So you see, they could get everything done on the physical. You see, that's why Jesus came. When Jesus came, he said, oh, you have said it in the old, oh, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not fornicate. But if you think in the mind, he says, thou shalt not kill. But if you call your brother in your mind, raka. So this new covenant, unlike the old, doesn't deal with the outward. It goes deep down and even deals with that which is in the inward, in the consciousness of a man. So you look at it and you go back to chapter 8, where he says, I will write their laws in their mind. I will put my laws on their heart. I will write them in their mind, and I will put them on their heart, so they can have a new conscience. So their minds can be purged of unrighteousness, and they can live out righteousness from within outside. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know if someone is getting blessed. You want to shout wherever you are. I mean, you might be in the bus, but you may just do some jiggle, jiggle, jiggle with your body. Just give God some thanks for that which we are receiving this night. Which stood, verse 10, chapter 9, verse 10, which stood only in the meat and the drinks and divine word and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them unto the time of reformation. That's the time we are in, the time of reformation. But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater. Hey! Glory to God! By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Glory! Hey! By a greater and more perfect. You see, everything about the new covenant is better. Everything about the new covenant is better. You see, if you're a believer and you see what God worked in the lives of the men of old, see, just put it in your mind that everything I can be and do in God is better, is greater, is better, is greater in God. Glory. Oh, let's read some more. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Hey! Not made with hands. That is to say, not of building. So, not of this building. Neither of the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in. Glory to God! In once into the holy place. You see, the old prophets, the old priest, they go in every year because there's always a remembrance of sin every year. But this guy, the man Jesus, the perfect lamb that was slain, the perfect lamb without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, the Bible says this lamb didn't have to go once every year, because the Bible says if he went once every year, there was always a remembrance of sin. But he went once and for all. dealing with the issue of sin concerning you and me forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The issue of sin concerning you and me is not a question in God's mind. It's not a subject of debate. It is not a matter of maybe not, maybe not. Is this sin big? Is this sin small? Is this sin big enough for God to forgive? The Bible says he entered in once into the holy place. Hey! No. You're not going to get it yet. Let me read the ending part for you to get what is really making me go gaga here. He says, having obtained eternal redemption, glory to God, for us, having obtained eternal redemption, we have the life of God in us. We have the same spirit, the same authenticity of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says it's the first fruit of all we who are heirs of salvation. You see, the same likeness and similitude of Christ right now is what is embedded in our spirit. We have eternal redemption. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have Zoe. We have the life of God in us. We have this reality to live in and walk in daily. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, we don't have time to dwell on these things, but let's just read some more. Let's just read God's word and just keep being blessed. These were things the children of old, in the days of Ezra, in the days of the children of Israel, knew to do. They just sit down and just stand and read God's word and read God's word and read God's word and read God's word, and you see mighty things begin to happen from their midst. Mighty things begin to happen from their midst. I'm reading verse 13 now. Hebrews 9 and verse 13. I'm reading from verse 13, reading down now. For if the blood, hey, listen to these people. For if the blood and of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an ephah sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. Hey, how much more? You see, if somebody is living out there with a sense of condemnation and guilt, living out there with a sense of inadequacy in the presence of God, I really cannot figure it out. Because it almost seems as though we are not reading our Bibles. That is what it goes to tell me. Because the Bible tells me how much more. You see, those guys, when the priest will go in front of the tabernacle and slay those lambs and proclaim the curses and you know, put all their sins upon it and lay it astray. And there's the one that they put on the altar, there's the one they lay astray into the wilderness. They don't go back feeling condemned. Hey, they go back with rejoicing. Most times there's always a feasting. There's always a rejoicing. But for us believers, would the Bible says that he has prepared for us, even a dining table, food, brokoto, all of those things in the presence of our enemy. We go feeling like we got a chip on our shoulder. But the Bible says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, somebody here, you got to wake up to the reality of the efficacy of the blood of Christ. The blood that speaks better things. The blood that washes away, even whiter than snow. How much more? You see, when that blood got to heaven, it was finished. All the price, all the sins, all the need for condemnation, when he took that blood, you know, he got to Mary. Mary went to touch him. And he says, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me. I've got to show some evidence in heaven. I've got to show some evidence in heaven that Kende, that Jide, that Tolu, that Taigo, that Ose, that everybody born in the heritage of Christ is redeemed, because this blood is without spots. This blood went to the gates of hell, and the devil could not hold him bound, because that blood was taintless, spotless. That blood was all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's read some more. How much more? The Holy Spirit just, as I read that, it's just getting my spirit excited. How much more? Somebody get that in your spirit. How much more? Hey, I don't know whether you have read the book of Leviticus, you have read the book of Deuteronomy, you have read the book of Numbers. You see the slaughtering of the cows and everything, everyhow. And the Bible says those things would make them old for a month, a year. Their conscience will be clear for a year. How much more? Hey! Ooh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So he's not just going to purge your conscience. I've spoken about that a little while ago. He's going to make you wired to live for God. Hey! Glory! Glory to God. He's going to make you wired. Oh, somebody, I don't know if you're getting this word. He's going to make you wired to live for God. He's going to make you wired to live a victorious life. So right on the inside, your conscience is purged. You are living the righteous life from the inside, but you're also empowered to live for God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Do we go some more? Do we go some more? Let's jump. Let's move. I'm in chapter 9, verse 15. Oh, I don't know if somebody's getting excited. Hallelujah. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Oh my God. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. The lawyers can better understand that. So let me just put it in simple English. So if a will is to come into effect, the person that wrote the will must die, right? So if the testament is to come into effect, the word testament means will. If the testament, the will of God in the new covenant is to come into pass, there is need for someone to die. Hey, and that person was one without spot, was one without blemish. Oh, that person died for you and me. He says, for God so loved the world. John 3:16, we love that scripture so much in the church. But let's listen to it in our spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So Christ died that you might live. Glory to God. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just getting excited upon these words. Wow, don't mind me losing my mind on this. This is the gospel. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the testament, the tabernacle, and all the vessels of the ministry. Hallelujah. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Hey! Is no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Ho. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heaven should be purified with this. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than this. Can you see, do you see that word better coming over and again? Better, 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 better. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven, into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hey! Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundations of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Child of God, the issue of sin is dealt with. You see, when I just look at these words that Christ is speaking to us, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, that Christ appeared. He came, he lived 33 years, Bible history tells us, 33 years upon the earth. He died on the cross. And for his death, we have obtained these promises. And you see, when the writer of Matthew, speaking in Matthew 1 and verse 23, he says, "And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So my question now is, why are we ever thinking that our sins are still hanging over our head? I don't get it. It's either we do not know, it's either we do not embrace it, it's either we are trying to live our lives out of our own sense of righteousness, trying to attain and obtain, and trying to come to a sense that, oh, I'm it. But, you know, if you just look at what Christ has done, you will just be set free. You'll be set free to live the Christian life with ease, to live the Christian life without shame. You see, the consequence of the fall of man was shame, spiritual death, a sense of condemnation. And I wonder, and it bugs me when believers come with a chip on their shoulder without the confidence of that which Christ has already given to us. Wow. Glory. Somebody is being set free this night. This word is for somebody. God prepared this word for somebody, that you should know that he appeared to put away sins by the sacrifice of himself. This is your word. Christ has come that he might put away your sins. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Do you see what Christ has done for us? Christ was offered to bear our sins, that we might walk in the liberty and the light. He says, he who the Son of God is set free is free indeed. He's free. He's free. He's free from a sense of guilt, from a sense of condemnation, from a sense of shame. He's free to live the Christian life. He's free. Why? So Christ offered himself. Once offering himself, bearing his sins, the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Do you see that? That in our appearing to Christ, we're going to appear without sin. Do you know why? You see, we get it twisted sometimes to think that, you know, like a board, God, our sins are written somewhere, and what God does is maybe puts a cloth over it or writes it on the pad and we just cover it. No, no, no. Our sins are not covered in the New Covenant. That's an Old Testament reality. Our sins are washed away. The word remission means to take off, to clean, see, to have a clean slate. And this doesn't speak to the person that just gives his life to Christ now. Because you actually say, I gave my life to Christ 10 years ago. And do you know how many atrocities I've committed? There's no more hope. No, 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 my brothers and sisters, that's not the reality of what Christ has done. The reality of what Christ has done is once for all. For us to walk in the light and the liberty and the joy. You see, seeing a spirit, the spirit of a believer downcast is an aberration. We are to walk in joy. We are to walk. I mean, you look at a lot of believers and their face is just all marbled up, all frowning like they have the world on their shoulders and all of that. But what Christ has offered us, is the opportunity to live free. Free from sin. Free from the consciousness of sin. Our conscience has been purged. And to walk in the light of righteousness. Oh, I don't know whether I want to go some more. I'm looking at verse 10, chapter 10 now, and I'm like, wow, should we just take a break and just give God thanks? I don't know. This is God's word. I'm just looking at chapter 10. Like, should we just go on reading chapter 10 again? Okay, we have like 10 minutes more, or 15 minutes. So let's read. As far as we can go, let's read. And when we just stop, we just give some moments to just give God thanks. Hallelujah. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. See that? The law had a shadow of good things to come. Good things. This is what God's mind is for the old covenant. Good things. Hey, good things. And he's saying he has a shadow of good things to come. These things we have come into are good things. And not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comer themselves thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to offer, to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Look at that word. Take away sins. See, sins are not... See, the issue of sin is done with. We must get this matter. That the issue of the sin nature, the nature that estranges man... Let me even define sin quickly. I think maybe to just clarify. Sin doesn't even just speak to the acts. Sin is a nature. Sin is that... Is the impact or the Satan nature, the nature of unrighteousness that man came into the moment he rebelled against God. And what that did was separate him from God and make him live a life without God. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou would not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sins, thou art no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sins thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, with which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I don't know who sees this. we are sanctified. It, see, that moment you give your life to Christ, you know, there's a thing of, you know, continual sanctification, all of those things, trying to live right. You know, we now, and this doesn't speak against right living. No, this is not talking about living callously. We're not talking about someone whose conscience is purged can't live callous. Are you with me, people? This is talking about the purging of the spirit, the awakening of the spirit that purges a man from within. I remember when I just gave my life to Christ, I used to smoke. I used to drink. I used to like girls. Ah! But the moment I gave my life to Christ, something in me died. And something in me came alive. There were girls chasing me. But there was an inward inside, internal wiring in me that wanted to live right. And the Bible says that by the reason of the offering of the body of Christ, we are sanctified. We are sanctified. Our spirit is made new to live this life. Made new to live this life in victory. Not defeated. To live this life in victory. Victory over sin. Victory over poverty. Victory over the works of darkness. Victory over sickness. We are wired to live in victory. That's what this life offers us. So he says he has sanctified us, cleansed us from within, done an inward washing. He has done it once and for all. The moment you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Live in this reality, brother. Live in this reality, sister. This is what Christ has offered for us. And every pre-standard daily ministry and offering, oftentimes, the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. See, look at that word again, take away sins. It's not covering sins. And look at the word, it's not take away sin, meaning that you do an act and it takes away that sin. No, take away sins. Take away sins. See, just type take away sins on your New Version Bible. And let's see how many times it writes it, take away sins, between these three chapters we're reading. Take away sins, take away sins, take away sins. He has come to take away sins. Your sin is no longer there. He has come to take it away. Somebody say, glory, hallelujah. Praise. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. He has taken it away. Taken it away. Taken it away. Forever. Not once. Not once every year or once after every time you commit sin. He has taken it. He has dealt with the matter of sin for you and me. Sin is inconsequential to this equation of the believer. Believe this, me. Believe this. This is the scripture we are reading. Ken is not adding anything to it. We are reading God's word. Cook, line, sinker. KJV. Not even Amplified Translation. KJV. KJV. That's what we are reading. He has taken away sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to just stop here and just give God thanks. Wherever you're joining in from, just begin to give God thanks. Just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Lift your voice. I don't know.